welcome to another episode of 20's Toolbox here on WDIY. I hope you all are doing well and enjoying the fall weather, finally. Tonight we're talking about something that's at the heart of every strong community, community engagement and community service. Now, this isn't about just checking a box or earning hours for a requirement. It's about stepping outside of your own routine and realizing that what you do, even the small things, can have a real impact on someone else's day or even their life. Sometimes this looks like spending your weekend helping at a food pantry, but other times it's as simple as showing kindness when it's least expected. Every act, no matter how small, builds something bigger. It builds community. So whether you've been volunteering for years or you're just starting to think about how to get involved or engaged with your community, this episode is for you. So let's explore how we can each play a part in making our community stronger, one small act at a time. My guest for tonight is Julie Cohen. Julie is the Assistant Vice President for Community Engagement at Government Affairs at the University of Scranton. At Scranton, Julie leads a variety of community and civic initiatives. For example, she served as Project Director of Scranton Story, Our Nation's Story, a project that garnered a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Prior to coming to Scranton, Julie served as Deputy Director of Churches for Middle East Peace, a coalition of church bodies that works to advance Israeli-Palestinian peace, among other roles with cross-cultural and social justice organizations. She is currently a member of the Catholic Advisory Council of Churches for Middle East Peace and the Board of the Foundation for Middle East Peace. Julie earned a bachelor's degree in political studies and English literature from Gordon College and a master of public administration from Villanova University. Julie, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to sit down with you and talk all things community engagement today.
Well, thank you so much, Grace. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite topics. So thanks for having me.
Before we dive in, would you be able to share a little bit more about yourself and what you do? I know I may have covered most of it in your introduction, but if you have anything else to add.
Sure. So currently I serve the University of Scranton as Assistant Vice President for Community Engagement and Government Affairs. And I've been here for almost about, I think it's been about 15 years this fall. And in those years, I've done a range of different projects, really trying to connect the university to the city and to the community in different ways, and vice versa. So we're very proud of how our students and our faculty and our staff engage with community partners and engage in the community as really being an anchor institution in the city of Scranton. And then we also are proud of how we welcome the community onto campus, because we see that relationship as mutual. We learn from each other. So a couple of things, you know, that I'm proud of thinking back of, I established our downtown scavenger hunt, which I think you're familiar with.
Yes.
Many students have participated in, again, to really have that link between the city and especially kind of spatially with our downtown neighborhood and supporting small businesses. I've also coordinated our living wage study, which looks at the socioeconomic kind of situation of the region and issues of economic justice. And I have also, you mentioned the Scranton Stories Project, which we can talk more about, which is an oral history project that I'm especially proud of that really looks at the kind of diversity of the Scranton stories and all the different people that have made it home. But before I came to Scranton, I did work for some smaller nonprofits. So I've been in higher education for about 15 years, but I worked for smaller nonprofit organizations before that. So Churches for Middle East Peace, which is a faith-based advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C., I also worked for a group called U.S. Servas in New York, which was a cross-cultural exchange organization. So both of those nonprofits were actually very small, like less than 10 employees. So it was an interesting transition to come into higher education, where you're part of this pretty, you know, bigger institution, much more employees, obviously many students. So that's something we can talk about too, is when you think about being part of communities and engaging, there's smaller nonprofits, obviously you can work in government, and you can work in higher education. There's various sectors that can help you be engaged with your community, whether it's your local community, or if you think of community even as our global community.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you do a lot of great work, so I'm excited to talk about all of that and more with you. To start off, how has your view of community engagement, community service, kind of changed over time, if it has?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, you know, as a college student myself, I did a lot of volunteer efforts here at the University of Scranton. In my role, we promote something called community-based learning. We also have community service and volunteering, so students can get engaged in a variety of ways. But oftentimes when people think about, how do I, you know, get involved? It would be through a volunteer or service activity, and I did a lot of that in college. In community-based learning, what we try to do is really link up the faculty and the academic course with a community-identified need. So again, hoping that both groups are really learning from each other, and hopefully we're applying the skills and assets of a class, so maybe a business class or nursing students, to a specific need that the community has. But one of the things that informs how I think about community service and engagement is something that is part of the Jesuit and Catholic mission of the University of Scranton. We have a phrase where we talk about educating men and women for and with others. And those are really important words in the sense that we don't only want to do things for other people. It's important, and that's what, and when we're, and people do need assistance, and all of us need help in different ways. But we also think it's important to have that idea of being with others, which is more of a solidarity or kind of accompaniment, walking with people. And I think what's helpful about the two of the things together is that it means we're never doing something for people in a way that could be insensitive or maybe lacks humility, or thinking that you sort of have all the answers, rather than thinking about what are people who are the closest to the problem, what are the things that they're really talking about, what are the solutions that they may be already finding that you can simply be a part of and be helpful with. So I think that's a really important kind of way to shape your mindset when you think about engaging with community.
Yeah, exactly. The with implies that you're, you know, in the midst of it, not just from the outside looking in, that you're like doing the work from the inside, which I really love. Was there ever a moment when you realized community engagement or community service wasn't just about helping others, but, you know, it was about discovering something that you could do within yourself as well?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it made me think about two experiences that I had actually back as a college student. So one of my volunteer activities was volunteering at a nursing home, and it really took me out of my comfort zone. And I would just go and visit an older woman. She didn't have a lot of family left, so I was kind of not the only person in her life, but somebody who brought some kind of cheered her up and brought hopefully some kindness into her day. She actually passed away during the semester that I was volunteering, and it just really made me realize that when you engage in these kinds of activities, first of all, how meaningful they can become, how you can build relationships with people, and also it opens you up to people, but it can even open you up to loss. And, you know, and I think there's a saying that's sort of like, you won't be able to experience love, or love connects with loss. Like, you don't get one without the other. So I think that when you engage in community service and community engagement, you're going to encounter people, and you're going to encounter people in ways that may be difficult, challenging, and that you have to be open to that. So that was one experience. And then the other one is that I did a study abroad when I was in college. So I went to Jerusalem as a college student, and I grew up as a Christian with much of my family. My mother's side of my family is from Israel. And at the time, I was able to volunteer in the West Bank, which is where Palestinians are more predominantly, it's a part of Palestine. And so I hadn't had a chance before that to really encounter or understand the experiences or the challenges facing Palestinians. And so it was very cross-cultural and kind of binational, and it took me out of my comfort zone in terms of really interacting with, as somebody who had more experience on the sort of Israel side, being able to experience what life was like and the injustices facing Palestinians. So I think that service and engagement opens you up to things that will change your perspectives, that may take you out of your comfort zone. They can disrupt sort of maybe wrong perceptions that you might have. And also it can really ignite a passion in you. And for me, that ended up meaning that I worked professionally for justice and peace for Israelis and Palestinians in my work with Churches for Middle East Peace. And I continue to do that as a volunteer. So I serve on the Catholic Advisory Council of that organization and another organization that provides grants to the Middle East. So you never know how these kinds of things will end up informing your career, informing your volunteer work. So really being open to learning new things and having these experiences shape you is really important.
Absolutely. You never know what's the next step, right? What's on the other side of the door until you go through it. Switching gears a little bit, we all know that community engagement, community service, in whatever form impacts others. What's the most unexpected, kind of calling it maybe like a ripple effect, you've seen from a community engagement or service project? Maybe one you've been involved in, or maybe there was one you're kind of on the outskirts of looking in?
So you mentioned a project that we called Scranton Stories. It's part of a larger project called Scranton Story, Our Nation's Story. And through that, we looked at the story of Scranton through all different lens. So like the immigrant history, the religious tapestry of Scranton, history around coal mining and work. And through that, the culmination of that project was an oral history project called Scranton Stories. And we specifically wanted to tell some of the undertold stories. So what's meaning the African-American community, the black community in Scranton, through the work of the Black Scranton Project. So not only us, we were partnering with other community partners who were already doing that work. And also more recent in immigrant refugees, to kind of tie back to the immigration stories that are more commonly known in Scranton around the immigrants who came here during the coal mining era, and to bring all of that together. And we were able to do that. And through that project, there were all these different partnerships that just like continue to bear fruit now. Part of one of the themes in the project was the looking at the indigenous history and heritage of the area. And the Lenape people are among the original inhabitants of this region. Through the work that we did, because we brought speakers in and brought different partnerships, including with the Lenape Center, we ended up developing a mural project. And it was taken on by the Lackawanna County and Scranton Tomorrow, so other organizations. And there is now an amazing Lenape mural in our downtown. And again, that wasn't something that I wasn't down there. The artists themselves are the ones who should be credited, Ben Miller and Baleen. Ben Miller is from the Delaware tribe, the Lenape people, and his partner Baleen is from Spain, so it's kind of an international project. But it's just an example of when you bring people together, new ideas come, you plant seeds, and new things will bear fruit. And so that's one example of, you know, we didn't know that was going to happen when we started the project, and it's an incredible testimony to how art also can really be a way to communicate about, you know, complex issues and to really preserve history.
Absolutely. As I think we have both seen, community engagement and service really comes in all types of forms. So do you think there are some forms of community engagement that people may overlook or may not even recognize as being something that you could do for community engagement?
Yeah, so I think that civic engagement and kind of advocacy are also a form of service. So whatever it is that you care about, whatever issue that's near and dear to you, you can also think about how public policies are linked to that. So even engaging in the very basic form of civic duty in terms of voting is something that is important, and that is a way for you to kind of continue your community service through civic engagement. But I also was thinking about, so we do a lot of work in our office with immigrants and refugees, and there's all sorts of things that are really important in that regard. ESL classes that happen on our campus. There's a Leahy Clinic for the Uninsured that serves many communities. We do connection with mentoring and tutoring. But we also co-chair an event in June called World Refugee Day, which is a day for solidarity and friendship. People may not connect that as much with sort of community service because it's like an event and it has this kind of message of solidarity. But I think connecting the service and the engagement then with advocacy, whether it's in connection to public policy or advocacy in terms of raising awareness for an issue that you care about, all of those things really are part of service and engagement.
Right, exactly. Building on that question, have you ever seen someone serve their community in a way that may have surprised you?
I mean, I think I would say that the answer to that for me is the Scranton community in general, because it's a very generous, very service-driven community in a way that I grew up in New Jersey. I love New Jersey, nothing wrong with New Jersey. But Scranton, just like, even in the sense that something happens to somebody and you'll see, you know, there's a fundraiser, there's a dinner, there's a walk happening. There's so many things that are always, like, there's problems and there's solutions. And so I think there's just an amazing way that there's like a tirelessness. And it does seem to span ages too. I mean, there's a lot of our older adults who are engaged in community service, but obviously I'm connected to a university, so I see young people engaged as well. But there really is a wonderful, generous community spirit. And so that's just something that, since moving here, because I'm not from Scranton originally, I have really been struck by.
Yeah, I agree. This community is definitely one of a kind in the best way, I think. I've been really lucky to be able to be here in this office, to work for this office, and go to school here in this community, because it really is a true community.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome to another episode of 20's Toolbox here on WDIY. Tonight we're talking about something that's at the heart of every strong community, community engagement and community service. My guest for tonight is Julie Cohen. Julie is the Assistant Vice President for Community Engagement at Government Affairs at the University of Scranton. Like anything, a life of community engagement and this life of community service is challenging. So what are some of the emotional tolls of engagement or service work, and how have you yourself stayed grounded in challenges that might have come up in your work?
Well, so actually I mentioned earlier that one of my first volunteer engagements was at the nursing home, and I was volunteering on my own, and I didn't really have a lot of support. I remember the day that the client had passed away, and I came back to campus and like found my best friend and kind of cried on her shoulder, and that was fine, and she was great and very supportive, but it was a lesson that I did need to be a little bit more plugged in, and so I did find other ways to make sure that I was doing things in community. So I think the lesson is to be in community, in your community engagement. You don't want to necessarily be serving alone. Sometimes that happens, and that's okay too. But find a network, find your colleagues, find friends who can help you through the difficult times. You know, we work with immigrants and refugees. This is a time where there's been a lot of pressure and anxiety for those communities. We have a kind of committee of people who work with those communities, and we meet together and we talk about different issues. So I think that's a helpful way to be able to handle some of the stress and the concerns that might come up, is to do it in, to do the community work in community.
In community. Yeah, exactly. I love that. I love that saying. So let's connect this to our audience a little bit. What do you think this current generation is either doing differently or maybe similarly in regards to community engagement or community service?
So this made me think of we just started a new program a couple of months ago or a few months ago called the Community-Based Learning Student Fellows. And we wanted to give students an opportunity to really come up with their own projects based on maybe involvements that they had before and that they could do within a semester. And so what we found was just really amazing projects that they had that they wanted to pursue that we could support them through our office. And what we also really found was that most of those things that they wanted to pursue were connected very much to their own passions, to things that they care about, that they are that they see as important. And so I think that this generation really leads with that kind of passion and that sort of like, what is it that's really tugs at their heartstrings? What do they love? What are they upset about too? What do they want to see if that they can make a change in? We have students doing all sorts of great things. We have a student who works with hospice patients. We have a student who works on immigrant rights. We have a student who last semester who worked with youth of color, doing a mentoring kind of, and actually helping young people do community service themselves, with the idea that it's never too early to start service. And even people who come from difficult circumstances, disadvantaged or marginalized in some way, everybody has something to give still, and that's an important piece of being part of a community. We had a student who worked on a period poverty project, which is an issue that's not always as much known, or more awareness is needed, and she did a lot of work to bring awareness to that. So I think the young people are gonna be all right, as they say.
I'm
definitely inspired by them.
Awesome. Our world is every day becoming more digitized and technology driven. What does the future of community service and community engagement to you look like? Do you think it will be drastically different in the future, stay similar?
So I think that what's so important about community engagement in this time of social media, of just people being online, being on phones, obviously during COVID, everybody was, you know, kind of withdrew. I think it's that opportunity to be together, to get off our screens, to get off all of that, to be outside, doing a cleanup in the park on a beautiful day, you know, to be at direct service, like if you're, you know, going to a food pantry or making sandwiches for, you know, your local organization that serves unhoused individuals, those kinds of things where you're coming together in person. We also run a political dialogue and civic dialogue project, and so we get people to come together to talk about issues that may be hard and that they may have disagreements about, and it's amazing to see how that can unfold in person. In a way that's a little bit different when we're online. I mean, it's not to say we don't do the online and the social media, that's fine, but we need to make sure that we're also refreshing ourselves with the face-to-face interactions, with the interactions with other people, with people who may be different than us, who may have different viewpoints than us. And, you know, again, I work at a Jesuit and Catholic institution. Pope Francis, the most recent pope before Pope Leo, talked about the culture of encounter. And so this idea that we really need to encounter each other, encounter across differences, and you can only do so much of that without that face-to-face, that in-person interaction.
Exactly. To kind of wrap up our episode, what's one act of engagement or service that anybody listening could you know, do in the next 24 hours to kind of start using their talents to serve their community better?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier that just simply being kind to people is something that any of us can do, and that it is an important thing to just be present to the people in your lives, the things that you have in front of you, to be really attentive to what people are going through and to be, again, really present, because I think sometimes we lack that attention, we lack that ability to be present with people. But also I would say, you know, in 24 hours you can go online, you can find a volunteer opportunity. There's so many nonprofits in Scranton that need people every day to help with an event that they're having, with whether it's a cleanup, whether it's a making a meal. Those are really meaningful. And then again, thinking about, okay, I care about this issue. What are the public policy implications? Is there an advocacy opportunity as well that might mean that I make a call to an elected official, whether local, state, federal? That cuts across any political affiliation. It's about what you care about, and then how do you want to see that change happen?
Yeah. Are there any resources you personally know of that are, you know, a young adult can go online and kind of get started right away? Are there any that you could share that our listeners could find?
So at the University of Scranton, we, for our Office of Community-Based Learning, we actually have a list, and it's just www.scranton.edu/CBL, where we list a lot of the projects that students and faculty can engage in through community-based learning. Our partner office, the Center for Service and Social Justice, they keep a whole catalog of volunteer opportunities that change on the weekly basis, depending on what organizations need. And you know, really, or nonprofits, higher ed, your city, most of the time you can find a place that lists upcoming volunteer opportunities. So you can look for that, or if you just know of an organization that you care about, go on their website or give them a call, and I'm sure they'll be happy to put you to work.
Yeah, exactly. If there's anyone listening right now who just feels like, you know, I want to get started with this, but I just feel like I have nothing to offer, what would you say to them to kind of jumpstart this for them?
I think we all have something to offer. I think no matter our age, no matter our different educational backgrounds, where we are in life, my own career has been not one straight line. I've really tried different things and, you know, said, let me see do I like this? Is it fit for me? And you find that maybe that isn't the thing you're the best at, but you tried it anyway. And that also is, So doing something and finding out that it's not the fit is also a learning process, because then you know, okay, I'm going to go over here and do something different. But I think certainly in terms of community engagement, Scranton is not a huge city. So in a certain sense, it's kind of easy to get involved because you find people, you meet people. But I've also lived in bigger cities, in New York City and Washington, D.C. And I think getting involved also makes places smaller, meaning that you find ways to connect and you find that community. So no matter where you are, you can. It's a way to build kind of friendship, build solidarity among communities. Hopefully, help us to feel that we can come together regardless of different differences that we might have, and find ways that we can build common ground and build forward. Improving our community.
Yeah. So one last question for you that I ask all of my guests: reflecting on your career, what's the best advice you've ever received? It could be about anything. It could be about community engagement and service, or it could be about something very general, like life advice.
I do think of my parents and my mom. I'm one of three sisters, and my mom has always instilled in us to sort of think about, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, if you just put your mind to it, you can be successful. And I think that's helped me to be really dedicated and committed to the things that I do. And to feel that I can make a difference in whatever way, big or small. And the other piece of advice that I've just gotten from my husband, is to be encouraged by how things may not be one straight line. You know, you may have a career where you really know, actually my two sisters are physicians, and they've known that they want to be doctors for like kind of early on. So they really went for that, and that's what they're both doing. But I've been a little bit more circuitous. I've worked for nonprofits, I've worked for higher ed. The issue of peace in the Middle East has been something that stayed with me, but I also started working with immigrants and refugees in the past 10 years. So certainly vulnerable and marginalized communities, issues of global justice, how do they connect to our community and local? So there are themes, but it's not been one straight line. And I think that's okay. I found that to be very enriching. So not to be sort of afraid of that, to not exactly know what you're going to be when you grow up, and to be willing to have that kind of adventure or sort of, you know, exploration, I think it's been something that's been fruitful for me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely encouraged that the many people that I've talked to on this show, I feel like that's a recurring theme, that like what I'm doing now is not what I thought I would be doing when I first started this. And I think specifically for young adults, as we kind of are in this period of trying to figure out what we want, I think it's really encouraging to hear from people that it's more often that your career will not be a straight line. That it's like, oh, I tried this and I didn't like it, but I tried this and really liked it and ended up doing that. I think it's really encouraging to know that you may start out in one place and end up in another, and it's completely okay. It's really normal, actually. So, well, this was so much fun. I hope everybody got something out of this conversation. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
One other thing that I actually was just in Rome for a conference that was about how higher education can support immigrants and refugees, and we now have a new Pope, Pope Leo, and again, working at a Jesuit and Catholic institution. But our previous Pope talked about not kind of giving into an idea of globalization of indifference, so that we shouldn't be indifferent to what we see in the world, things that give us pain or give us concern, things that are injustice. Pope Leo has talked now about the globalization of powerlessness, so that we can also feel powerless sometimes when we see things in the world that we feel concerned about or in our community. And so I think that idea of really not being indifferent to things, and then also not feeling powerless, because we all have some power. We can all do something in our community. And so we can be really motivated and inspired by that, and also by all the people that we can see around us who are our role models, our family, our friends, our people in, you know, colleagues, people in other parts of the world who are facing issues and really being resilient or overcoming challenges. I think that's an inspiration, so that we shouldn't feel powerless or indifferent.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you so much for coming on the show. That's all I got for you all tonight here on 20s Toolbox. I really hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I want to leave you with this. Community service and community engagement isn't about doing something huge or this grand gesture. It's about being present, noticing what your community needs, and choosing to care. Change doesn't always come from those grand gestures. Often it starts quietly with one person deciding to make a difference. So as you go throughout your week and your life, look for those little opportunities to help. Smile at someone, hold the door for them, lend a helping hand if someone's carrying a heavy box or something like that. Be kind when it's hard. That's how community begins, one small act at a time. And community engagement and community service isn't just something we do, it's something we live.